this date, 3 years ago, I was in Providence Hospital and just anticipating spending the rest of my life there, however long that would be. I thought maybe a day or two. But on the 30th of this month, I got to leave the hospital. And I was a stranger and I was taken in. Spent some time with one of our church families trying to figure out how to live again. I'm just thankful that the Lord has given what he's given. We have exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And someone wrote the gospel song that says, "Fill my cup, Lord," and that's where we need to be. And if it's not the case, as I sing, may it be your that God would fill our cups full and overflowing. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, "Draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole." So my brother, if the things this world gives you leave hungers that won't pass away, my blessed Lord will come and save you if you'll kneel to him and humbly pray. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole.
Thank you, Brother Ray. Well, I was going to say turn in your Bibles, and we got a topical study tonight, so I don't know, you're going to see the verses on the screen. We're doing something a little bit different tonight. Two Sunday nights in a row, we're doing topical studies instead of a book, because I'm still not exactly certain which book we're going to enter on Sunday evenings, and I may have one by next Sunday. I may do another topical, so you pray as I seek what the Lord would have me share. Last Sunday night, we were talking about the purpose and responsibility of the church, which we said was evangelism to the sinner and edification to the saint and exaltation to the Savior. And as we think about the purpose and responsibility of the church, when we come together, we come to worship and praise the Lord corporately. But we certainly worship and praise the Lord individually in our lives as well. And there are many, many verses that have to do with worship and praise. And I have, I think, about 12 that we're going to see this evening and then go into four other aspects of worship and praise there. And so when we think about worship, you hear the word, most churches say 11 o'clock is their main worship service. And we hear some churches have worship leaders. You hear oftentimes today about a praise team churches have, or even a praise band, you know. And so you hear those words, worship and praise, quite a bit today. And the Bible has a lot to say about worship and praise. So let's pray, and then we will look at these 12 verses, most from the Old Testament, maybe all there. And I have them on the screen. You'll be able to see them. You can jot down the reference if you'd like, and we'll make some comments about each of these verses as we go through them. Father, we come tonight to worship and praise you. Help us to understand more what that means, and how you want to be worshiped, and what we can do to praise you. And so we thank you that you've shared in your word a lot about worship and praise. And as we glean a little bit from it tonight, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, and may our worship and praise be acceptable in thy sight. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. First verse we're going to see is in 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 30. And in these verses, I've kind of made some words bold and underlined them to help some thoughts stand out a little bit more, having to do with praise and worship. It says, "Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worship." And so we see, obviously, that praise includes singing. David had written songs. It says the songs, the words that David had written. Aren't you thankful for those who write songs? And we sing these songs and read these songs, and they are encouraging and inspiring to us. And many are praising to the Lord. Unfortunately, there are some that, you know, in my opinion, they don't praise the Lord too much. But as they were worshiping, they bowed their heads. They had reverence, respect to the Lord, and they were singing praises with gladness, and they were honoring the Lord there. And so as we think about worship, singing is involved. We have singing, that we have congregational singing. We have special music. God has given us music, and music is used to praise and worship the Lord. And 2 Samuel, this is the passage where they were moving the Ark of the Covenant. David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even harps, psalteries, timbrels, cornets, cymbals. When they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the Ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the Ark of God. And here they are, as verse 5 you see magnified there on the screen, they had all manner of instruments, and all the house of Israel had come together to worship God. And you would think, you know, here they are worshiping God. God's going to be pleased and satisfied. But God was angry. God was angry, even though they were attempting to worship God. He wasn't sitting up in heaven thankful and being glorified because they were praising him, because they were doing it around the cart. And the scripture had teaches us that you know how they made the Ark of the Covenant. They had rings in the corners, and they had the staves. And the Levites were take the staves, put it through the rings, and they would carry the Ark. It was not to be on a cart. Now, it seems like what a small issue there, you know. Carry it, put it on a cart. A little bit easier there to put it on a cart. It doesn't take quite as much effort. And here they were trying to make things easier and worship the Lord. And even though it may seem like a small thing, God had given a command. And whatever reason he had, whether we know it or we don't know it, God had told them how he wanted the ark transported. And they didn't obey. And here they are worshiping the Lord, thinking that they can do it their way and worship God and be pleasing to him. And not only was he not pleased with their worship, he was angry at it. The anger of the Lord was kindled against them. there. So they indeed were not worshiping like the New Testament says. If we worship the Lord, we must worship in spirit and in truth. They weren't worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. They were worshiping the Lord the way they wanted to. They were being disobedient to the Lord. So whenever we come to the Lord to worship Him, if we are being disobedient in our lives, if we have unconfessed sin in our lives, God is not ready to receive our praise and worship. He wants us to deal with the sin in our lives. Then He'll be glorified as we deal with that. Move on to the next verse, the third one. 1 Chronicles 15, 16. David spoke to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals and sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. And so we lift up our voices with joy. Joyful to the Lord. Some of us, you know, not so joyful to one another there. And so speaking for myself especially. But instruments, all these instruments we have here, and the instruments they had, they were using instruments. You know, there are, I don't know if this church is still around much more anymore. It's one of the branches of the Church of Christ who they don't believe in having instruments in their church. Everything's a cappella, you know. And I think their reasoning was because the piano and things was used in saloons and things like that. And so they just don't have instruments. And I just can't find, you know, any scriptural support for that, because we see all kinds of instruments, music used to serve the Lord, to honor the Lord, to do it with joy. Whenever we sing unto the Lord, we lift up the voice with joy for all God is and all that He has done for us. The fourth verse is from 1 Chronicles 23. Moreover, 4,000 were porters, and 4,000 praised the Lord with the instruments which I made, said David, to praise therewith. Can you imagine this orchestra of 4,000? Well, that's hard to imagine, but what's even harder for me to imagine, David made them. David made 4,000 instruments. When did he have time to make 4,000 instruments? He didn't have an assembly line where he ran them through. Of course, he was a shepherd boy and probably watching the sheep there as he sits there. He wasn't twiddling his thumbs, and he certainly wasn't playing video games. They're making instruments. And he made those instruments not for self-satisfaction. He made the instruments, it specifically says in this verse, he made them to praise therewith. And music, God has given us to praise the Lord with music. And I am certainly thankful for all of the music at Sumter Bible Church, for all the soloists and duets and musicians and the choir, and because the Bible has a lot to say about music being used to praise and worship the Lord. And it is such a blessing there that God has given that talent and gift to so many. Making instruments there, 4,000 of them. Verse number 5. 2 Chronicles 5:13. It came to pass as the trumpeters and the singers were as one. What about that? Here they were in unity here, singing and playing, to make one sound to be heard. God is not the author of confusion. He likes that unison there. In praising and thanking. So when we think about worship and praising the Lord, music is involved, instruments as well as vocal, but also there's thanks. When we give thanks to the Lord, whether in song or just in speaking, that worships God. It praises Him when we thank Him for who He is and what He's done. The verse goes on to say, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praise the Lord, saying, for He is good. We sing that chorus, don't we? The Lord is good. Tell it wherever you go. The Lord is good. God is so good. We sing choruses about the goodness of God. And whenever we give a testimony that God is good, He's praised with that. And we know He is good. And all that He does is good. And when we magnify His goodness, we're magnifying the Lord. He indeed is good. His mercy endures forever. That then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. And as they were praising the Lord with their songs, with their instruments, with their voices, with giving of thanks, they were doing it with joy and gladness, and the Lord's presence was there. The cloud was there. He was honored through that. Verse number 6, still in 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 6. And the priests waited on their offices, the Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord. There's the mention of David making them for the purpose of praising the Lord, because His mercy endureth forever, when David praised by their ministry. And the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. And so here we see the mercy of the Lord. So when we magnify the Lord's goodness, when we magnify the Lord's mercy to us in song and praise, we are worshiping the Lord. Number 7, 2 Chronicles 23:13. And she, Athaliah, she looked, and behold, the king, who was Joash, stood at his pillar at the entering in, and the princes and the trumpets by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and sounded with trumpets, also the singers with instruments of music and such as taught to sing praise. That's another interesting concept about music and singing and praising the Lord. It needs to be taught. We teach our children music. We teach them to sing. We have that in our school with music. We have it in church, where we have children involved in that. We teach children to sing. We teach children to praise God with music. We teach adults music as well. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to give glory to God by teaching music that glorifies God. There's obviously some music that doesn't glorify God, and there's a lot of discussion about that, and we're not going to get into tonight. We're looking at worship and praise, and we're in 2 Chronicles still, number 8. Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offerings upon the altar, and when the burnt offerings began, the song of the Lord began, also with the trumpets, with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. So now they still have the music, they still have the joy and gladness and thanksgiving, but now there's something else added to it, their offerings. They're making these sacrifices and giving to the Lord. And so we see in our services today, though they are probably quite a bit different from David's day, a lot of the same things are going on. Singing and instruments and giving thanks and praising God and giving offerings to God, not burnt offerings, but as they would bring their burnt offerings, it would be their animal sacrifices, and they were taking from their livestock and sacrificing something that was theirs that they could have used for themselves, but they gave it to the Lord. And so it is when we bring our tithes and offerings to the Lord. It's something that we could keep, would be disobedient in doing so, but we bring it to the Lord, and even though the first tenth is His, we give it to Him, and He's honored, and He is praised whenever we are obedient to Him. Verse number 9 in 2 Chronicles chapter 30. And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of the unleavened bread 7 days with not just gladness, but with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. Brother Ray and I were talking about that this morning after the service, about loud instruments and loud music. Do you like loud music? Well, I like it to be loud enough so I can hear it there, but the Lord obviously likes loud music. Now, He has a built-in, I guess, synthesizer. He can, it adjusts, I guess, to that. There's some music I just don't care for because it's too loud and too noisy there. Well, what does it mean, loud? Well, this particular Hebrew word actually means with force and boldness. And so the Lord loves for us to come with boldness there. We come humbly to the Lord because of who we are. We come boldly to the Lord because of who He is, but we come with singing. Psalm 122, verse 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And here they are, great gladness. They praised the Lord day by day. They didn't just do it on the Sabbath or even on Sunday. They did it day by day. And so we praise the Lord day by day. Every day, you and I as believers ought to be worshiping and praising the Lord. And we'll see in a few minutes some things we can do to do that. We move from Chronicles now to number 10 of our 12 verses that we will see in Nehemiah 12:36. And his brethren, Shemaiah and Azrael, Milaliah, Gilaliah, Maai, Nathaliel, and Judah, Hanani, should have left out all those names and made it easy for me, with the musical instruments of David, the man of God. And so another concept that we think about in worshiping the Lord, we have thanksgiving, we have singing and instruments, and we have praise, we have offerings, we have gladness, all of these things going on. Now we see a man of God involved. And so here's David. What do we know about David? Well, we know he was a man after God's own heart. We know that he was an adulterer and a murderer. We know some bad things about him. But even though he had sinned, it still refers to him as the man of God here. Aren't you glad to know that we don't have to be perfect to worship and praise the Lord? But we do have to be pure. And that's why David is called the man of God. Not because he didn't have any sins, but because whenever his sins were pointed out to him, as Nathan did once when he said, Thou art the man, David's heart was tender. And immediately he confessed and forgave. And if we're going to come and worship the Lord, then our hearts must be right with the Lord. They must be pure. We must be men and women of God whose hearts are right with God. We can't be like those around the ark when they had carried that on a cart, trying to worship the Lord, doing it our own way. Going our own way, we have to have our hearts right with God. Aren't you glad that that doesn't take hours and hours and days of giving and doing and works, that we can pray and ask God to cleanse us and make us pure, a man of God and a woman of God, and just in a moment of time, He takes the blood and He cleanses us from all of our sins, and then our worship can be acceptable to Him. Psalm 150, moving on to number 11. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs there. The dance, what in the world is that? Well, some churches have that today, you know. They have all kinds of dancing unto the Lord. The word dance means physical expression of joy. It doesn't have anything to do with a lot of the dancing today, which is usually sensual and it's the way it's done here. But certainly this dancing before the Lord was not sensual. It was excitement and joy. They were praising the Lord and they were glad God had delivered them. God had removed their sins and they were excited. We'll talk a little bit about emotions in a little bit when we finish the 12th verse and go into the last section of the message I have. Verse number 12, or I mean, not verse. Yeah, that's it. It is the 12th verse that we're going to see tonight, or passage anyway, from Ezekiel. Interesting passage. We don't preach a lot from Ezekiel. Maybe I'll get to that book one of these days. Ezekiel 33, verses 30 and 31. And thou, son of man, that was a name for Ezekiel, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors. So that, can you imagine that? All the people talking about the preacher. Here they were by the walls and the doors talking about you, Ezekiel. Here he says, and they're speaking to one another, everyone to his brother. And here's what they're saying, come, I pray you and hear what's the word that comes forth from the Lord. And so that sounds good, doesn't it? Everybody's saying, hey, let's come hear God's word. But then continue reading there, verse 31. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear the words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. So another thing that we learn about worship and praise, it involves love. And this verse even helps us learn a little bit about what love is and what love is not. Because notice the contrast. It says, with their mouth they're showing love, but love is not just in word, is it? That is love not just in word, but in deed. But the opposite of that, the opposite of love is covetousness. You see it with the contrasting conjunction, but. Their mouth, with it, they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. So, in other words, love is the opposite of covetousness. Covetousness is selfish. Covetousness is lust. That is opposite from love. And so here they had words of love, but their actions were not loving. They were trying to worship the Lord the way they wanted to, with selfish motivations, with covetousness. Now the next verse, number 12 continued. Keep these two verses in mind as we go to verse 32 here, as God is speaking to Ezekiel. And he says, and lo, thou, Ezekiel, you're unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And so there are some songs that are lovely, and some songs, obviously, that are not lovely. This verse talks about a lovely song. This verse talks about a pleasant voice. There are some voices that are not pleasant. There are some people that play well, and there are some that don't play so well. And when we come before the Lord, we don't have to have perfect voices and perfect playing abilities. When we do it as unto the Lord is honored. But aren't you glad for those who have those skills, like we heard tonight, like we heard this morning, the instruments playing, and it's just, they do well. A very lovely song. And Ezekiel was to them as someone who had a beautiful voice and played well. But notice what it says. For they hear thy words, Ezekiel, but they do them not. So another thing that we see involved in worship and praise is not only thanksgiving and instruments and singing and offerings, but obedience. When we are obedient to the Lord, we are worshiping and praising. And whatever we do, whether it's in the house of God, whether it's in our home, whether it's on the job, whenever we hear the word of God and do it, we're worshiping God. We're bringing Him honor there. And so as we move from these verses, I want to share with you four things about worship and praise. First of all, we're going to look at the purpose of worship, then the problem of worship, then the people of worship, and the practice of worship. And I have 12 or 13 minutes, and I can do it in that amount of time. It's just not long. So bear with me. The purpose of worship is to magnify God. And so when we come together as a corporate body to worship God, we are coming to magnify Him. And so we see that concept in the word humility, because we come humbly before God. The word worship means to bow down and prostrate oneself. And in order to do that, we humble ourselves before God. Because when we come to worship the one who is almighty, we look at who He is and we look how we can compare. And boy, we just don't compare. And so we humble ourselves and we bow before Him because He's worthy of our bowing before Him. We see that in Revelation chapter 5, verse 12, where it says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. He is worthy there, bowing before a king. They did that in the Old Testament. They would come into the presence of a king and they would bow. They even still do that in some countries there. We don't understand this quite as much in the United States there. And whenever they would do that, only the king was to be seen. They would bow before him so that he would stand out and be magnified. And that's what we do when we bow before the Lord, so that only he is seen, that we're not seen, but we humble ourselves before him. The purpose of worship. Now, the problem of worship first. A lot of people talk of worship. John 4, 19 through 24 is part of the story of the woman at the well. And remember when Jesus was talking to her, she said, our fathers worshiped here and you worship. And she starts talking about worship. And a lot of people talk about worship and praise, as I said at the beginning, with praise teams and praise leaders and worship leaders and all of that. And there's a lot of talk about worship. But God wants our worship to be pleasing to him. And a lot of worship is self-centered. It's to be seen by man. A lot of worship is self-serving. There is emotionalism there. And so whenever we go to worship God, should we be emotional? Well, we shouldn't be, you know, a basket case. We shouldn't. But neither should we be dead. Remember how they were praising God? They were singing with great gladness. They were singing with joy. They had loud instruments. They were dancing. They were excited. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And so it's possible for people to have self-defining worship. Well, this is what I like in worship. And I don't like this done that way, and I don't like it done this way. And there is just a lack of any kind of emotion. And so, well, you say, aren't you contradicting yourself? You're saying, you know, have some emotion, and now you're saying, don't have some emotion. And what do we do? Does God want us to have emotion in our services or not there? Well, I think you can go to either extreme, can't you? Proverbs 11:1 says, a false balance is abomination to the Lord. And so having a balance of that, certainly we don't just need to be acting like we're bored and we don't want to be here. Maybe that's the case sometimes, but we ought to say with the psalmist, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord, because they're singing praises with joy and gladness and excitement there. That involves emotions. It's okay for you to be emotional in your worship there, to sing with joy, to cry, to raise your hand or whatever. It's okay to have emotion there. Well, let's look at the people of worship. Worship is for God's people. There are some who are not God's people. In Matthew chapter 15, there are those who were giving lip service only. And Jesus says, in vain they're worshiping me. Vain means empty. God wasn't interested in their worship because they weren't worshiping God for him to get glory. They were worshiping God for people to see them. It was self-gratification. But then there are also some people that have the external worship of God. In Matthew 5:6, speaking of a demon-possessed man, it says, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. So here's this demon-possessed man worshiping Jesus. And do you think Jesus is satisfied and said, oh, I'm glad that he's worshiping me? No, he wasn't satisfied with that at all. Just like he wasn't satisfied with those in the Old Testament when they were around the Ark of the Covenant on the cart. He wasn't satisfied because they weren't worshiping in spirit and in truth. And God accepts the worship of those that are his. And not just those that are his, like David was the man of God, those that are pure and right before God, which only takes a prayer to get to that point. And then the last thing about worship is the practice of worship. Worship, the word itself, is an action verb. And sometimes people have the idea of worship is just sitting in a church service, especially in a formal setting, you know, just meditating. Well, I guess meditating is action too, isn't it? Maybe not physical action, but it's action in the mind where we're thinking on God. And so whatever we do in actions, the manner of worship should be in spirit and in truth. But there are many methods of worshiping the Lord. We can do it with singing and playing instruments. We do it, as we saw, with offerings, praying, witnessing, helping someone else. Anything that we do with action there is honoring to the Lord, because the Bible says, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God, to praise and worship Him. And whenever we do that, whether it's helping someone else, that's worship. It is praising God. And it needs to come from those who have a clean and pure heart. As we finish up, let's look at one other verse. Repeat what it says there before we go on. Worship God with your life, walking in the Spirit and walking in the truth. When we walk in the Spirit, when we walk according to truth, that honors the Lord. Let's close with Romans 6:13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Remember in the Old Testament, they had all these instruments, and they used all of these different instruments, stringed instruments and trumpets and cornets and psalteries and harps and organs and all of those things we saw. They used those instruments to worship God. And now Paul says to the Romans, yield your members as instruments there. Yield yourselves to God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. Not instruments of music, but instruments of doing what's right. And whenever we do what's right, instruments of righteousness, we worship and praise God. We don't have to come together as a corporate, but we don't have to be able to sing and play an instrument and do all of those things. We can just do what's right. When we do what's right, God is worshiped and He is praised. And we can do that together, or we can do it individually. Three questions in closing we ask ourselves as we look at worship and praise. Is your life out of tune? Are you confused about what God wants you to do? There were those that would play well with the instruments, and sometimes our lives can kind of get out of tune. Pianos get out of tune. They can be put back in tune. God does that with our lives. Does your life produce melody and harmony, or does it produce strife and contention? Is it like one of the instruments I love to hear when it's played well is the violin? But one of the instruments that, if you've heard someone beginning to learn it, those notes, when you hit a bad note on a violin, it just seems to be different than hitting a bad note on a piano, doesn't it? You know, it's like scraping your fingernails on a chalkboard or something there. And so our lives should produce melody and harmony and not the other, contention and strife. And the third question we ask ourselves, is your life an instrument of righteousness that worships God? The opposite of that, it's an instrument of selfishness that serves self there. And God wants us to serve Him, not by looking at what is best for me, what kind of worship do I like, what kind of music do I like, but does it honor God? Worship and praise is about God. It's not about us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the time that we can come and worship and praise You tonight. There's so much more in the Bible about worship and praise. And Lord, we ask You that You would help us in our daily walk, that we might worship and praise You in all the action that we do. And when we come together as a body of believers, that we might come together as men and women of God whose hearts are pure, whose lives are in tune, so that our worship and praise can be acceptable to You. And we thank You that You're a God who tunes our lives when we're out of tune, that You cleanse us when we're unclean. And Lord, You make us fit to worship You the way You want to be worshiped. and may you receive praise from it. In Christ's name, amen.